Welcome to the Speak It Podcast. I am John Wilson with Fire and Life Safety America. Got a couple great interviews for you today. The first one's going to be Kelly Beam. She's the Director of Membership at the Rutherford County Chamber of Commerce that's based there in Murfreesboro, Tennessee. Man, we're going to discuss restaurants, new businesses, all the changes in the county in the last 10, 11 years. I've known her for a while. We discuss a lot of the changes and really some things that you might want to consider, you know, when you're growing your businesses and trying to network out there. Our second interview is going to be with Parrish Alford with the Daily Journal newspaper out of Tupelo, Mississippi. We're going to discuss Ole Miss sports, basketball. We're also going to discuss Middle Tennessee State University and ETSU basketball coaches. Are they in the running for the Ole Miss basketball head coaching job? We are also, as always, brought to you by Ram Tool. David Pledge, here's his number, 615-767-0553. If you need any safety products, construction products, give him a call. He's great to work with. Once again, Fire and Life Safety, we work with him, and you guys should as well. Look, I got sick last night, and Candace and I were going to do a great interview and discussion with Chad Rowland, the owner of RTM Roofing, and that is going to happen. And we're also lining up some other interviews I'm really excited about. We're going to shoot some things on site at other businesses that are really exciting. New things on the market that I want to share with you and Candace wants to share with you. So just keep that in mind and just some upcoming episodes with some great interviews. Also, I just want to make another note. Keep our companies in mind. Fire and Life Safety America, look, we're a great company to work with as far as inspection, service, and installs for fire sprinklers, fire alarms, fire extinguishers. If you need anything related to fire safety, give us a call, 615-866-6537. I will personally come out to your site and take a look and give you guys an inspection quote and make sure you guys are up to code and see if you guys need to make any changes to your fire alarm monitoring or anything like that. And also, if you guys own a business or own a commercial property, or if you're responsible for that, give Candace a call. Candace Jenkins of Montgomery & Associates, she's your commercial advisor. It can help walk you through the process to make sure that your insurance needs or even financial needs with their company, make sure that's taken care of. She is great to work with, and obviously she's a personality in the show, and look forward to having her back on. But just want to mention those few things, David at Ram Tool, and also Fire and Life Safety, and Montgomery & Associates Insurance and Financial Products. Great companies to work with. Now, coming up next is our interview with Kelly Beam of the Rutherford County Chamber of Commerce. Enjoy this, and right after that, we'll bring you right into our interview with Parrish Alford of the Daily Journal, out of Tupelo, Mississippi, covering all things Ole Miss sports. And we also have a little Middle Tennessee flair there with some football players there and discussing the Ole Miss coaching job and some coaches in Tennessee that are in the running and they might just be interested in the job. We will talk to you guys next week. Welcome to the Speak It Podcast. I'm John Wilson with Fire and Life Safety America. We are here live at the Rutherford County Chamber of Commerce with Miss Kelly Beam. Kelly, how you doing?
I'm great, John. How are you?
I'm doing fine.
Great.
My family's sick all weekend. I'm, you know, skated out of that. I'm okay so far. Have you guys been sick?
Well, just a little bit, but nothing to the extreme of most folks out there, so I'm knocking on wood.
Yep, and no handshakes.
Handshakes, fist bumps. Yep. We were able to enjoy the beautiful weather this weekend, so
yep,
it was great.
Why don't you tell the listeners how long have you been here at the Chamber? And I've known you for a while now, but how long have you been here?
I have actually been in this job over 10 years now.
Wow.
I started in 2007, and I was able to come on as director of membership after our second child was born in 2008, and I will celebrate my 11th year in May with the Chamber. So
yeah,
so I think that was about the time we probably met, and
yeah, getting right into that. Yeah. You remember we met. We talked about that before we started recording. It was 11 years ago in May when I moved up here from Mississippi. Right. Do you remember when we met? Where that was?
I think it was at the car wash.
That's right, the Goo Goo Car Wash.
Goo Goo Car Wash, back in the day. which is so.
You remember what
ironic.
I was wearing?
I think some goofy hat.
goofy red tie. But I wasn't doing anything to pay the bills.
I was going to say. So you had to do what you had to do.
I met you. I was meeting other people. I'm like, guys, I got to get a job out here because, you know, I was doing the financial advising thing.
And, right.
That went downhill a little bit, which was.
Well,
fine.
It was during a little bit of a thing called a recession.
A big recession.
Yeah.
We knew a little bit about 2007 and 2008. Everybody really? Lost some jobs. Yeah. All the companies, financial companies falling and collapsing countrywide. Remember them?
Yeah.
Wachovia.
Yeah. All those
people
all
like
those
that.
Folks.
So that was right there during that time. So.
Hey, washing cars was not a bad thing.
No.
I mean, you had a job.
I had a job. I didn't have a big mortgage or anything like that to worry about. But yeah, I met you and, you know, excited about a relationship right. for that whole time. I don't see as much alike. I know I need to get into the chamber here more.
That's okay.
But I wanted
but
to bring
you followed through on staying involved and in doing the things that I knew could work for you.
Yeah.
Which was getting out, getting involved, making sure that you were connecting with folks. So
yeah, and relationships.
That well. Yep.
That just brings you through everything. Where you're trying to be a teacher, come out of college. Business,
right.
You're trying to meet new people at a networking event at the chamber.
Correct.
Networking and relationships is kind of what sees you through,
and
through life.
And it can happen anywhere. So
yeah,
making sure that people take advantage of every opportunity that's put before them, whether it be in their church, whether it be at their kid's baseball game.
Yeah.
You know, I actually met some really cool people over the years. Just because I was saw them at a baseball game and engaged them in conversation, and now they were able to help me with different things over the years. So, I mean, you just never know where you're going to meet people.
Yeah.
And don't be so blinded by the fact of, oh, this is not a true networking place. You're networking everywhere you go.
Yeah.
Even in the grocery store.
Yeah, be open to that opportunity.
Yeah, I mean.
And the opportunity to help others.
Yeah, I mean, it's not just about you. I mean, it's about building relationships with people because you never know. As I reflect back on my son just turned 15, I actually am still in contact with a lady that she and I met in Babies R Us. We were brand new moms. And
that's
both of
awesome.
Our children are turning 15 right now. And so it's so cool to see, you know, in that moment of we were just new moms and scared to death, and you know, we just needed a friend, and so we met in the line at Babies R Us, you know, and so now, you know, of course, with technology and social media, we're able to stay in contact with each other,
yeah,
all the time, and so it's just so neat to kind of know that we both took a chance on staying connected, or not staying connected, but even putting ourselves out there a little bit, just to build a relationship with somebody that I saw that she had a new baby, I had a new baby, and it was like, wow. And now 15 years later, we're still friends. So.
Yeah, never know when you strike up a conversation,
right.
What could come from that, how you can help or be helped, and like you said, don't be blinded to something.
Yeah.
And back at the car wash. Just reaching out to people and telling people. And I don't, well, do you remember this? I also wore the duck costume.
You did wear the duck costume.
98 degrees, I wore the duck costume. And I wore it with pride. I took it off and walked it back. But whatever it took to pay the bills and stay connected and meeting people without worrying if people are judging me and anything like that.
And so. I think we all like get so caught up in the way that you think people judge you. But I think a lot of times, you know, I look at people who take a chance, like you being in a duck costume, you were strong enough and willing enough and wanted it bad enough. You know, for me, whenever I see people pushing themselves to that next level, such as you doing this, you know, cast and all that stuff, I actually look at it as, wow, they believe in themselves enough to do that. I mean, because I'm goofy as all get out. If you put me in a situation and like, I'm the first to embarrass my kids. I mean, I'm at a ribbon cutting. I'm the first to jump up in the back of a truck and, you know, act like a fool. You know,
yeah, but you gotta be comfortable in your own skin.
But I'll be the first one, you know, to go and help push somebody where I see that they're struggling with it. You know, you can't grow when you're comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
And so even being goofy.
That's a great point.
And being in a duck costume, that also allowed you to be humble.
Mm-hmm.
And when we're humble, we grow.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's the thing that we, as just a society, we forget to be a little humble, and that it doesn't really matter what other people think in that regard. If you're getting the job done and you're willing to do it, go for it.
Yeah.
So
that is awesome. Yeah. Great little talk about the past and the future and the present. And the always continue to serve people and look for those opportunities. So.
And the duck costume.
And the duck costume. Tell us about Murfreesboro growth in the last, 11 years. We've both been here. This road right here, I don't think was there. Medical Center. This building right here, which is 4 or 5 stories, the Chamber of Commerce here, it's huge. This place has grown so much. Restaurants, businesses, the state championships are here, and people love it. It is fast-paced, a lot of people here, but I really don't want to live anywhere else right now. So tell us about the growth. What have you seen? What has your been experience seeing it with the businesses and everything?
So I can't speak about just Murfreesboro. I have to really speak about Rutherford County.
Smyrna, Laverne, everywhere.
Smyrna, Laverne, even good old Eagleville, which
I think is our
hidden gem. So don't tell anybody about that because it really is just a beautiful
quiet
space.
Out there.
It is quiet. It's our only quiet place.
Do you live out there?
No, I don't yet, but I may. Well, so much growth is going on in our community. We are so fortunate, and I said God smiles down on us, because if you take 840 and really look at how it wraps around Nashville, there's a big smiley face on us. You know, I just look at us and I say, we are so blessed. And so for us, I feel like we're doing a lot of things right. You know, we are continuing to go after companies that want to be in a community that still has a rural feel in some parts of it.
Yeah.
But it also has the context of job folks who want to continue to better themselves and grow, whether it be move up in jobs or move to different jobs. We have an amazing MTSU
new science building.
Awesome. Just the college in itself, and having Motlow and TCAD and all those different opportunities for our students to go through and pass through. We are continuing to keep those folks who are graduating because they're seeing this is an affordable place to live. It's a great place to grow your family or start your family and grow your family. But it's also a great place to retire. We're getting more and more people who are moving here because of their children are moving here. And so we're getting the other side of it where parents just want to be close to their grandkids or their family. So it's been amazing to see how that really works. But we've got lakes. We have accessibility. You know, the interstate access, but we've still got rural areas that, you know, people are still loving. You know, you can hunt and fish and you can do all the things that you might want to, you know.
Amazon is here.
Amazon, and you can get dropped Amazon within the day. So
that is crazy.
It's not a bad gig, but we've got companies from Japanese companies to German companies, you know, to all this different mix of tiered or companies that are supporting Nissans, but we've got a huge food industry. You know, we still have farms here, you know, that are really dynamic. We're putting new programming into MTSU. We have a fermentation degree at MTSU. We've got a brand new facility that's going in called Hop Springs and Still Barrel Distilleries putting in and then partnering up with MTSU to not just make beer. It's really the fermentation process because, you know, that's an art and a craft that we can't release and we can't let go of that because there's so many things that go through fermentation.
Have you heard about the new brewery going up out of Broad?
There's a few different things going on.
I'll pull it up on the next episode. There's a new brewery going up off of Broad going towards Joe B. Jackson. And my buddy's company, Woodford Construction, is building that brewery.
Awesome.
So excited for them. And the brewery.
Time to join the chamber.
I'll do that.
But, I mean, between Laverne, Smyrna, Murfreesboro, and Eagleville, people are moving here because we do have accessibility into the Nashville metropolitan area. But you can get to Chattanooga and Atlanta and all these – and Knoxville, Memphis, you know, and up to Louisville. You can get in and out quickly. Now, there's a whole mass transit thing that's going on, and eventually as we continue to grow. But Rutherford County has over 321,000 people in it right now.
Does it really?
When I came here, there was probably not even 200,000. So to know that we've grown that much in that short of time, I mean, we've been here since 2004. And so just continuing to see that grow, you know, the population, they are saying that our anticipated projection is it will be close to 600,000 people by the year 2035, which is less than 20 years.
That is hard to believe. So there's a lot of room around here.
Taking what we have and taking a whole other city and putting it inside of our county.
Yeah, that's a lot.
So it's
a lot of problems, but a lot of great opportunities
well. You know, I've always said this, it's nauseously exciting.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's so exciting because, you know, we as a community, we have this opportunity to grow it how we want to, really, but we've got to be intentional. So as a city of Murfreesboro, they're being very intentional about, you know, trying to grow it very, very intentionally. Smyrna and Laverne, you know, each community is taking on their role and making sure that we have a good place to continue to live.
Yeah, probably before 2007, the growth probably wasn't as known. Now they know it. Don't shortchange ourselves or our roads or people like us. We need to move out.
Right.
And so they have a time to prepare now.
Right. Companies out there know we're Murfreesboro. We're not just Nashville's baby sister.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I mean, people know Rutherford County. They know that our county as a whole is the hopping place to be.
Mm-hmm.
And so we are being put at the top of the list a lot more than none.
Yeah. And so that kind of leads to the next thing. I was going to talk about the one overpass that we do have. I remember speaking to you years ago when you said that was the Broad Street and Memorial Boulevard was the
busiest intersection in the state of Tennessee.
In Tennessee. And that's so hard
to
believe. Yeah, sure. We're taking that for their word, but
look it up.
Yeah, so but now we've got an overpass. But listen to this growth.
Yeah.
How many other overpasses? And because it seems small for a city like Murfreesboro to get that overpass.
The bridge over Broad.
Yeah.
The Bob is what we call. Mayor,
it's nice
actually
to stop there now.
It is
nice. Just go over top.
The mayor. There was a group of people in Murfreesboro that named it. I'll have to look it up, but it was some hilarious, and it was only for one day it was named that, the bridge, I don't know, I'll have to look it up, but it was hilarious. But we call it the Bob. It is going to be officially named at some point, but right now we call it the Bob Bridge.
I'm just glad it's there. When I head across town to play softball or do something, I don't have to hit any lights.
But I will tell you, there are other, like Northfield's going to be expanded. You're going to continue to see growth out Veterans.
That'll be for new podcasts and conversations.
Yeah, literally, if you look at the list of transportation offerings that are going to be happening, it's crazy. And you're how is that going to be built?
Yeah.
And they just come up with a way. I think you're going to continue to see, I will say for the city of Murfreesboro, that downtown area is going to really flourish. We've got a good group of people who are continuing to invest in that downtown area and make it what a downtown is supposed to be, which we are so fortunate. It has been for years, always exactly what it's supposed to be. The hub of where
downtown
people
concerts
come.
Concerts and stuff. That's really nice.
And just farmer's market and the places for people to go. I mean, we all need a place to go, you know, and have a connection.
It still feels like a small town when you go for an event like that on Saturdays or Friday nights.
Yeah.
You get outside of that, wow, this place is so big, and people can, do they have a square?
Yeah.
You know,
and not every community is that lucky
mm-hmm.
to have a true downtown square. So
right.
That's going to continue to grow. You've got, you know, things going on in Smyrna and Laverne and Eagleville that, you know, continue to make it feel like that small town,
mm-hmm.
But they have the amenities of having a larger community.
Yeah, and it's really nice. Tell us about a new business, just one new business that comes to your mind that's really neat, different type of business that's coming to our market. Doesn't have to be in Murfreesboro. It could be in Smyrna. I've seen some boxing companies come to town, but is there anything that pops to your mind that and we'll talk some more,
yeah.
some other talks we have, but anything come to mind that's really cool, that's different? Do you know the boxing company?
I actually, we did Title Boxing. We did their ribbon cutting. We did 113 ribbon cuttings last year.
113?
That's the most we've ever done in a year.
Wow.
Ribbon cutting's groundbreaking celebration. Mm-hmm. So we're not like every chamber out there. Whenever I say we've got a ton going on, we have a ton going on.
Yeah.
We're very, very blessed. You know, we have everything from boutiques popping up to companies that are reinventing themselves or merging with other folks in the community, you know, making sure that they're relevant mm-hmm. for our community these days. You know, franchisees coming in and putting, you know, companies that are very well known. But the cool thing is these franchisees are small business owners.
Yeah.
You know,
local owners.
Dunkin' Donuts to anything in between. I mean, Burger King's to even McDonald's is franchised in some places. So a lot of people think it's just going to corporate. No, you have local franchisees that take care of that stuff.
Yeah.
To Penn Station, you know. You know, we have, like I said, we are literally opening up. We've got two ribbon cuttings today.
Really, yeah.
You know, which is crazy, and two more this week. There's just, I would say that, you know, I would love to say there's just one business. You know, we've got a new place called the Dog House. It's like hot dogs and brocks and beer and all those
kind awesome.
Of thing, and it's really good.
Yeah.
But we've got places like Kitchen Fresh and the Fountains and, you know, places like that. But we've still got our small boutiques like, you know, Julia's Bakery and Penny's Closet and Trendy Pieces and all those fun things down around. So,
Julia's Bakery is called the Cookie Store.
The Cookie by my Store. Kids.
Are we going to the Cookie Store? My mom comes in town and they know that they're going to the Cookie Store. So,
but we've got, you know, people who are coming here and saying, you know, we did a young lady 9 round, Hallie, and Hallie's grandmother lived here back whenever she was a little girl. And it was so cool because she had told her mom and her grandma, you know, want to go somewhere. She goes, why don't you try Murfreesboro? I used to live there. And so she came here off of her grandmother's, you know, thought of, hey, I lived there one time. And it was a great place. It was outside of Nashville. She didn't want to be in the mix of Nashville. And it was close. And it was just so cool to hear stories like that about people who come here and they know we're growing and they take and really invest in our community.
Yeah, that is another good story.
So we're very, very, very thankful.
Word of mouth is a great community. It's big.
Yeah.
But, you know, whether it's Smyrna's growing like crazy.
Smyrna is crazy, and I get people who will sit there and go, they'll take a map, and then literally will point to, they want to move somewhere, and they literally point, and they keep coming here, and it's so cool. You know, they want to be in this Middle Tennessee area, and they point, and they get on the map, and they're pointing right to Smyrna, and Murfreesboro, Laverne. I mean, and it's so neat, you know. We've got a little boutique, bridal boutique up in Smyrna called Beautiful Bridal Boutique, and, like, you know, just how creative people are. I said, that's where I get so encouraged, is so that people are just taking their dreams and making it real. You know, the really neat thing about what we don't need, it's not even really the chamber, but in our chamber building, we actually house the Small Business Development Center. It's a free resource to anybody that has an idea in their mind that wants to make it become real. And it's so cool to see, and as I get to point people in that direction. And that's what I love is, you know, go do that. You figure out how you want to do your business and then come back to me. And then we'll take the other side of it and move with it.
Yeah.
So that's so neat to kind of see how people are truly taking what they have in their mind and really making things become real.
Yeah, that is nice. You get to see all those business people flourish, start the idea, start it up, help them market it, help them see it through, and just see them grow it.
Well,
and that's really
so cool.
Awesome.
And it's so cool because I really, you know, one of the things that I know we were going to talk about this is, you know, how do they make their business grow? Mm-hmm. You know, what is it that, how do they want to be seen in the community? Well, I will tell you, it's not behind a computer and it's not in four walls. It's out serving, getting involved. There's no better way to grow your business than to serve others.
Mm-hmm.
And outside of your business. because people want to know and see people's hearts. Mm-hmm. One of the very first things that I love sitting down with folks and as they talk about Chamber, I'm like, that's all great and wonderful. And I love that people invest in the Chamber, but how do you want to serve? Mm-hmm. How do you want to get out there and fill your heart? Mm-hmm. Because when our heart's filled, we do much better in yeah. everything,
yeah.
from family to business to whatever. So how do you get out outside of your business? And I understand that there are constraints on some of those things, but there's ways to serve even sitting behind four walls.
Yeah.
And it doesn't always include money.
Yeah.
It's time, talent, or treasure. You know, so finding a ways to serve or to be a part of your community without feeling so overwhelmed, but I feel like that's the best place to start.
Yeah, I like that. I'm glad you went there with, you know, we're going to talk about how to help people with the businesses, but going at it from that angle, genuine, caring relationships, those endearing relationships, helping other people. So when they do see in the community, yeah. they remember that. They're not yeah. just trying to get your business.
Yeah.
I don't want to be known for that. Yeah. You don't want to be known for that. But if you're serving people, people remember you for that. The bigger piece, the business piece will go away one day, you know, but they'll remember how you treated them.
My friends at Tennessee Chiropractic, the Alley on Main, you know, Peter D's, all these different places around town that I knew folks truly serve. I mean, like Allison and Todd Davidson with Tennessee Chiropractic, you know, they went to every small festival, event, set up a tent, you know, served in a way, got involved. I mean, they just wanted to go out and meet the people. That was before they even got their business up and going. And now, of course, it helped.
Sure.
But they were there. They were active. They were trying to get their name out there. But they weren't just sitting here going, oh, everybody come to me. They went out to the community and said, hey, this is what we do. Mm-hmm. We would love to be able to serve with you. Mm-hmm. How can we serve, you know, in other places in our community that are so good about, you know, doing that? And so I just, you know, if you're stuck in a place, you know, as your listeners are out there, if they're stuck in a place that are like, I just don't know if I'm going to do this business any longer, go and find a place to serve.
Yeah.
And you never know. You may sell widgets.
Yeah.
But, and you may not be serving with people who need widgets, but they may know people who need widgets.
That's right.
So, you know, speaking, you know, to people, speaking into people, growing from folks, and then hopefully being able to share what you do is key.
Yeah, spread the web the right way. You can't always just, the one touch doesn't always mean you're going to get a transaction right there.
No.
And that's
and
a bad way to...
I don't even like that.
I
don't like that.
That's what makes some of those things awkward, those networking yeah. events and things like that, when it is like that.
Yeah, I'm like, so, ooh. I mean, it's not that I want people to work for it, but
sure.
I also want to know that if, I mean, like even with the Chamber stuff, I want people to come in and listen to what we have to say, showcase the things that we have to offer, share about all the different, oh my gosh, there's so many things that people, I can't even tell you. If your Chamber is all about just networking events, it's the wrong Chamber.
Mm-hmm.
It's got to be so much more, and that's something that we pride ourselves on being. But I don't even talk about them joining the Chamber at our orientation. I'm like, if you want to talk about it, I'll be glad to talk about it. But I want them just to be educated. I want them to understand how they can get involved.
Mm-hmm.
They can grow who they are. And then if they find value, they're gonna join, and they're
yeah.
gonna get a part, be a part of us. So
yeah.
it's just really, I feel like the better way to go in business.
Yeah, I totally agree. Well, why don't we change subjects as we're coming to a close? I wanted to ask you about the miracle field over at the SportsCom, baseball and football. Not football out there.
McKnight Park. SportsCom McKnight Park.
Yes.
Yes.
What? Tell us about the miracle field. How it started, funding, what it's all about, and I just want to share that with the listeners.
So the miracle field is a fully accessible, rubberized field. For kids with disabilities. It's got a big screen out there for video. There's music playing, but along with the field is also an accessible playground. It also has a dirt field beside it, so it's all inclusive. Any kid could go out there and play. The great thing about this program, it got started from the David Price, David Price, who is a Murfreesboro resident, or Murfreesboro Blackman graduate, went to Vanderbilt, went on to be Cy Young winner.
He plays for the Red Sox right now?
Plays for the Red Sox.
Yeah.
One of the best paid pitchers out there, let's just say that.
He's doing well.
But his heart, he saw the miracle field, I think, down in Florida. And the crazy thing was he just said, my community needs this, and started the Wheels Rolling. There were some other talks about some different people. I know my friend Lindsay Fournier, she had a heart for it as well. And then the city of Murfreesboro kind of wanted this, had the same heart. And all of a sudden, the pieces started pulling together. And through Project 1-4, which is David's nonprofit organization, the challenge was made. He made an investment of over $300,000 himself.
Wow.
Through Project 1-4. And then the Project 1-4, the organization, has raised in total about $800,000.
Wow, that's awesome.
So that the money was never used by the citizens at Murfreesboro for this. It was all, you know, profit funded dollars and in a relationship and a partnership with the city.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's right there at the entrance to SportsCom, which has, you know, a big water park area and indoor facilities and ballpark and just some amazing opportunities. So this Project 1-4, you can get online and look it up. It's David Price Foundation, and it's just amazing how the community has really come together. I will say I have a lot of heart for it because my daughter is in a wheelchair, and she actually got to break the ground on the facility.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
Also got to cut the ribbon the day that we had the grand opening, and that was a pretty special moment for us. And then this fall, Carly actually and the Blackman team got to hang out with David whenever he came and pitched to all the kids, had his picture made with the kids.
Wow, you know,
he got to be
that.
A kid. And it was really neat because we got to see him there with his son and his wife, and knowing that his little boy is going to be able to grow up and know that his dad made such a huge impact on our community. And seeing David's dad, his name's Bonnie, Bonnie was sitting there in tears because he had sat there with his son playing, as you are embarking on this relationship with you and your son playing t-ball and stuff. He sat there and watched his son, and who would have ever thought that he would have eventually, you know, been able to do all that, you know, even as a little kid, a 5-year-old, a 6-year-old, you know, now he's able to leave a legacy for our community.
Yeah.
Just because he had a passion for something.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I think that's what's so cool is each of us have a passion and we can do all kinds of things. But to know that his passion for baseball and his passion for kids with disabilities really brought him to this opportunity. And I'm telling you, that place is so cool because almost every day there's a full group of kids out there. On the weekends, it's packed.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
Especially with weather
like this in February, we'll take it all day long. But yeah, I mean, and as the season gets started, if you want to be a part of it, we actually are continuing to take pavers.
Mm-hmm.
You can get on the website under the Miracle Field under Project 1-4, and there's paver opportunities where you could do something in honor or memory of someone, and you can leave your legacy there as well of doing that. But it's a real neat addition to our community. I mean, we're doing event spaces and shopping and apartments and houses and all that stuff. But to have a place where kids can just come be kids no matter what disability they may have,
right,
or not have a disability.
Mm-hmm.
They can come out there and play with kids of any kind.
Yeah.
And it's neat to be able to see that our community is embracing that. So.
Yeah, our kids have played out there, and it's a great place to come, and like you said, for any child, and it's open, it's clear, it's got the rubberized, you know, yeah. floors where they fall. That's okay.
And a zip line.
Yes.
Kids, the bucket chair zip line. My daughter
really
got
cool.
to get up in it.
Yeah.
You know, and to know that she got to be just like every kid out there. That's pretty remarkable.
Yeah.
So there's just so many, there's continuing to be so many opportunities. What I love about Rutherford County is that we are continuing to bring people from all over really the country and the world into our community. And because of that, people are bringing ideas of what worked best where they last were, mm-hmm. their own community. So it's just really neat to kind of see how it all comes together.
Yeah. Well, I think we have to come to a close. I appreciate your time. I hope that we can do this every so often, discuss some new businesses. The conversation doesn't have to be about any certain business, but just what's going on. And I appreciate your time. And
You're always welcome.
Thank you. Hope you have a great week.
It's Monday.
I know. It started off strong.
It's going to be good.
Thank you.
Hope you guys enjoyed our interview with Kelly. If you guys are growing a business or starting a business in Rutherford County, in Middle Tennessee, give Kelly a call. She'll walk you through the process of not just becoming a member, but getting involved, finding ways how to serve the community. And if you're doing that genuinely, the business part will come. And people want to flock to your business, whether it be a service or a product or anything like that. But Kelly is great to work with, a great person in the community, knows a lot of people, and just great to work with. But that's Kelly Beam of the Rutherford County Chamber of Commerce there in Murfreesboro, Tennessee. Now, jumping right into our interview with Parrish Alford of the Daily Journal, we're going to discuss a lot of different things in sports and little drama with Mississippi sports. We're going to discuss some things in Middle Tennessee as well. Hope you guys enjoy this. We will look to speak to some Middle Tennessee sports columnists, whether it be covering the Predators or the MTSU Blue Raiders, UT Vols. We're just going to shake it up. You know, we want to make sure that we cover a lot of different things because this is a talk show, but we hope you guys enjoy this next interview. And once again, we'll speak to you guys next week. Talking Parrish Alford here with the Daily Journal out of Tupelo, Mississippi. Parrish, how you doing?
John, I'm fine. How are you?
Doing well. I'm my whole family got sick this weekend, and I did not get it. Here's hoping that I don't catch a virus from you through the phone. So,
well, but, I'll do my best to make that not happen.
There you go. Thank you. Hey, tell the listeners how long you've been covering Ole Miss sports and there in Mississippi.
I have been covering Ole Miss since 2002. Before that, I was the Mississippi State beat writer at the Journal, and our boss, Gene Phelps, came in one day and said he wanted us to change beats. So I was on State from 96 to 2001. I actually, the last thing I covered was Mississippi State basketball in 2001-02. Mm-hmm. And right after that, we switched beats. And I've been on Ole Miss since then. I actually go back to Brett Favre covering Southern Miss for the Meridian Star back in Brett Favre's last couple of seasons there in Hattiesburg.
So it's safe to say you had a few interviews with Brett.
That I did back in the day. It's also safe to say that he would not remember me at all, I'm sure.
Well, to me, you're a little bit of a celebrity, so that's a good connection there. Oh, you were actually covering Ole Miss when I was at school there back in, 2004 through 2007. And I don't know if you remember this. I ran into you in the airport at Austin for the Ole Miss UT Texas game. We talked for a few minutes. I don't know if you remember that, but
Well, John, I apologize because I do not remember it, but that just puts you in a group with many, many people who I do not remember.
Yeah, just like Brett, right?
That's right. That's right.
Let's jump into the Ole Miss baseball team. Looks like they're clean off a sweep of Tulane this week, and they're 7-0. I know I've heard you discuss it before. They've got some good pitching, but can they hit? I think they've got 49 home runs last year. Up to this point, I think they've already got 9 or so through 70 games. What do you think about the team? Have you seen them live just yet?
I have seen them live. I saw the first two games in the Tulane series. I did not cover the third game. Look, this team hit well at this point last season. Mm-hmm. And it was this time on the calendar when they went to a neutral site event in Houston, and there were great teams there, Texas Tech, Baylor. I forget who all was there. But basically, Ole Miss had been hitting well. Went to that event, didn't hit at all, and came back and just was never able to get going again the rest of the season. I think mm-hmm. changed some things with their approach at the plate after that weekend. I think some freshmen newcomers who had been hitting well before then just really did not. And you know, look, you look at that number one ranked recruiting class from last year, and the pitching pitched, but the hitters didn't really hit. You know, newcomers like Cole Zabowski and Chase Cockrell and gosh, I'm forgetting the Oxford kids.
Dillard.
Yeah.
He hit a bomb yesterday.
Yeah, he did.
Tennis court.
Yeah, these guys all hit below 240 last year. They all struggled. And the vibe coming out of there before the season started was, well, we're going to hit because we're older and because we've had a year's worth of experience. I wasn't really buying into that, but they have hit well at the beginning, and they've hit well from a number of different people. We've seen Dillard hit. We've seen Cockrell and Zabowski hit. But the guy that's really made the most improvement at the plate is Gray Kessinger. He was strictly a defensive guy, and it's hard for Mike Bianco to put a guy in the lineup every day for only defense. I mean, he's a guy, if you hit, you're going to play. But Gray Kessinger overcame that. He's so valuable defensively that he was shortstop all year long, even hitting about 140 or 150, whatever it was. But, you know, he's really putting the ball in play right now. He's aggressive early in the count. And it's going to be interesting to see if he will adjust when pitching adjusts to him, when they start pitching him differently earlier in counts because of that aggression that he's showing. Mm-hmm. And can he make an adjustment? Because these guys did not make an adjustment after that neutral site event last year.
Yeah, you start throwing some of these SEC sliders and hitting the black spots in the plate. It's going to get quite interesting with some of these players, especially when you're, like you said, people start to scout you a lot more and see where your success rate is. So, well, thanks for that. Let's jump over to Mississippi State baseball just real briefly. I know some people don't know this, maybe in Middle Tennessee, that Andy Cannizzaro resigned abruptly after the Southern Miss 0-3 start. Briefly, tell us what you do know, what you can tell us, just to kind of tell the listeners what's going on down there.
Well, here's the thing on that story. I don't know anything else really than what has been reported and made public, and that is that Andy Cannizzaro resigned abruptly, that he himself cited poor decisions that he has made, you know, and it all came down really quick at the beginning of last week. It had nothing to do with losing three games to a very good Southern Miss team. Mm-hmm. There were some things that had been building. Now, that's everything that has come out on the record. Now, if listeners want to do some Google searching on their own, I'm sure they'll find some very racy, subplots there with Andy Cannizzaro. And look, John, you've been around enough to know that sex has brought down a lot of good men, and that's been since the beginning of time. And I'm sure that's a trend that's not going to stop anytime soon. There are rumors of that nature around Andy Cannizzaro's resignation. I'm not close to that situation, and no one has come and described everything to me. So I'll just leave it at that.
Sure. And it looks like they've probably got some good leadership with their current coach right now. He used to coach Kentucky. But just want to mention that a little bit. I know that one of the reasons I mentioned this, one of the reasons that Hugh Freeze and his situation that kind of dealt the fan base a blow. And I know many considered to be a great guy and things happen like that. But I did want to get your take on that just briefly.
Well, I'm wondering if Mississippi State fans' Hugh Freeze jokes might slow down a little bit now. I guess that could be a byproduct here.
Tit for tat, right?
Yeah.
Look, are you going to cover the Ole Miss spring practices starting tomorrow, the football team?
Absolutely. I'll be there at most of the practices, and we'll have updates from there. And, you know, and it looks like from an accessibility standpoint, it'll be like a lot of springs, which are typically more open, and we're able to see a little bit more than we are during August when they are preparing for an opponent or several opponents. I mean, you know, in spring, they're really just working on themselves, and they don't mind as much media observation. You know, there'll be a few things they'll close off and we mm-hmm. won't see. But by and large, I think we'll get to see a lot of spring, and we'll have updates throughout.
Do you think the linebackers can improve at all to stop that, you know, running rush average defense that hurts them so much? You know, if you can't stop, especially in SEC teams' running game, you can't
control the clock, control the game. And I know they're bringing a lot of bodies, but can somebody step up and tackle somebody?
Well, you're going to have somebody make Gray Kessinger type improvements, somebody to be a somebody from the current roster to be a real surprise. You know, Dante Evans, it really wasn't that last year. I thought the lack of speed really hurt him there. Dietrich Bing-Dukes is back. Again, not a lot of speed there. DeMarcus Gates played well when he was healthy, racked up a lot of tackles. He's gone. I mean, I don't see anyone on the current roster. Now, I think anybody could jump up and surprise. Right. And maybe someone responds differently to different coaching. You know, we'll see how all of that goes. But there's nobody that I look at right now and say, that's the guy. He's going to make this big jump, and he's going to, you know, be the one who really helps this position improve. Now, they do have a lot of bodies coming in. I would think that that someone among the newcomers will get a chance to really get on the field and help. But you're right. I mean, that's an area that if they don't improve, it's going to be hard to improve the rushing defense.
Right. And what do you know about the Knox brothers? You know, we've got a Middle Tennessee Flair here. They went to, I think it was Brentwood Academy. Is that right?
I believe that's right. You know, I don't know much about the younger brother. What's his first name?
I think it's Luke, the linebacker. Yeah. He's tall, big boy. But
yeah, I mean, it'll be a land of opportunity for him, man, if he can come in and contribute early, just because that is such a position of need. I'll tell you, I think that Dawson Knox is a great story. You look at this guy right now, and I don't really understand why he didn't have more scholarship offers. But he's a playmaker, and he was more of a playmaker when they made the transition at quarterback from Shea Patterson to Jordan Tamu. Okay, and for whatever the reason, and we've tried to have that conversation with Dawson before, you know, quarterbacks develop a chemistry or a relationship or a comfort level with a certain player or a certain play. It looks like Tamu was more willing or more ready to look for Knox than Patterson was. Mm-hmm. And then there also now, you know, another reason for that would be Knox's injury, I think, early at the beginning of the season. While he was not in practice getting those reps and while he was missing game reps, Shea Patterson was developing chemistry and relationships and a comfort level with other targets. I do think that had something to do with it, but there's no doubt that Knox excelled more in the offense when Tamu was quarterback, and I think he's a playmaker. Now, he's not an Evan Engram playmaker with that kind of speed, you know, going deep, but, you know, he's going to get open. And the thing is, man, for a receiver, if they're going to throw it to you, catch the ball.
Yeah.
You know, just catch the ball. That's your first job, and that's something that he does really, really well. And, you know, I think defenses underestimate that at the beginning.
Yeah, he is a good-looking player. It is fun to watch him. He does catch the ball. He's big. He can move. And I think Tamu went through his progressions, and he found him as well. He's a big target. He probably is a 4'6 guy, I would think. But he can get open, so it's fun to watch him and see some guys in Middle Tennessee succeed down there at Ole Miss. I know we're running out of time here. Why don't we jump to Ole Miss basketball? Andy Kennedy resigned just a few games ago, and we've got a couple of potential coaches here in Tennessee, ETSU coach Steve Forbes and MTSU coach Kermit Davis potentially in the running. What do you know about that? Can you tell us a little bit about those coaches, and are they interested? I'm hearing they are.
Yeah, I think they will be interested. I think Kermit will be interested. He has family here. Ole Miss can double his salary. Look, I think he's very comfortable. Obviously, he's comfortable and has enjoyed what he has built and accomplished in Murfreesboro there, just with the number of years that he's been there. So, I mean, I think he likes what he has going on. From what I understand, he enjoys the community. I don't think that he would leave for just any job. But I think the family aspect of getting closer to his dad, who lives in Tupelo. He has a daughter here in Tupelo. I mean, there's a family consideration for moving to Ole Miss. I mean, you know, they're still, you know, 50 minutes between Tupelo and Oxford, but it's not like Murfreesboro and Oxford. I think that would be a great for him. Plus, they would double his salary, and something that people don't think about. You know, he has some years in the Mississippi retirement system, and he could get a few more. And it's a very good retirement system for the public employees here. So, anyway, I think he will be. I think he will be a candidate. I think first Ole Miss will look at Mike White at Florida. I think they'll make him say no. People look and say, why in the world would a guy go from Florida to Ole Miss for basketball? But there is a deep emotional connection for Mike White and Ole Miss. And I think they will make a run at him first. And then I think they'll look at Kermit. And we'll see where it goes from there. I think Steve Forbes would be in the mix. I think he would be interested in the job as well. And look, I think there are some other good candidates out there also. I think Stan Jones, the longtime assistant at Florida State, would be a name to keep an eye on. Yeah. Bob Marlin at Louisiana Lafayette, another who's also a Tupelo native and has Mississippi ties. I think he could be in the mix as well, depending on where the search goes at the beginning. And sometimes searches take awkward turns. You know, look at Tennessee football. You know, so you just never know what's going to come out of a coaching search.
Yeah, it is a really good point. It is soap opera type news when these coach searches go on, whether it be basketball or football. It's really interesting that what makes it out there on Twitter. Look at Clay Travis and UT football, for instance. I don't know if you remember that, but Paris, I really appreciate your time. I think, you know, if we can get you on again, I may like to ask you about this FBI probe with the NCAA basketball. Hey, I think that could get like teams like MTSU and ETSU and Ole Miss and places like that more on a level playing field where there's maybe not as much the paying of the players. I know that it's hard to get players unless you're paying them really well, and NCAA doesn't like that. But this is a business, and these kids are making coaches and people so much money. Here we are, you and I are talking about it. We get, you know, paid to talk about this stuff.
That's right.
And so, yeah, they do get scholarship and such. But I appreciate your time. Look forward to speaking with you again. And I hope you have a great week.
Sure thing, John. Have a good day.
You too. Thank you.